For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, Twitch, etc. And thanking those in Austria who've made it number 26 on our all-time list of views by jurisdiction by not doing a cheesy Arnold Schwarzenegger I'll be back to remind you to subscribe and donate. But I am back with some comeuppance. Not, unfortunately, for peddlers of climate alarmist nonsense, but rather for all the major energy firms who spent years, and many millions of dollars, making nice to the Greens in the hope that they will leave them alone, who've finally seen where it all leads. And where it all leads includes a clickbait pseudoscientific study in Nature, to which we devoted an entire quick response video, which would have you believe that the weather attribution wizards can not only pin specific heat waves on humanity and its carbon fumes generally, it can indict particular Canadian as well as other energy firms to as many decimal places as your credulity can stand. And then those firms can be sued into oblivion. Bloomberg Green pounced on the story, as did NPR. It even made it into African news. And the CBC swooped as well, calling, quote, "Climate change is making heat waves worse. A new study shows how specific companies are fueling the problem," end quote. That CBC item was labeled science, but in case anybody missed the point, the subhead chuckled, quote, "Attributing heat waves directly to carbon majors could influence climate litigation," end quote. Because, as we said on our quick response video on the paper, what we have here is not science. It's politics in a wig and ugly politics. So it's revealing, and not in a good way, that the study itself credits up front, quote, "approaches promoted by the World Weather Attribution, WWA, initiative and other methods," end quote. Alarmists don't love weather attribution because it conducts fair trials. They love it because it convicts everybody, with roughly the subtlety of Andrei Vyshinsky or Lavrenti Beria. But it is not science. In the newsletter, we also cite William Simon, who quoted a friend's wisecrack in the United States half a century ago that, quote, "a Republican is a Democrat who knows he's crazy," end quote. Because in Canada today, the same thing could be said of the new Liberal administration under Mark Carney, which looked all set to do a 180-degree spin on Trudeau's inane climate policy, but decided instead to keep it going and make it a clean 360. Determined to set aside Baroque woke projects and focus on economic growth, they remain convinced that Baroque woke projects are the key to economic growth. So, instead of repealing their EV mandate, they're merely pausing it for 6 months to think about what? What more do they need to know? What arguments are they preparing to consider? Sales have collapsed, the auto sector is begging for mercy, and people are demanding cars that work and that they can afford. Unfortunately, the worst thing about knowing you're crazy is that your plans to become sane are the product of a crazy mind, and therefore themselves crazy. Including Prime Minister Carney bloviating that, quote, "our focus in this very rapidly changing global economy is on what we call climate competitiveness," end quote. So, a 360-degree pivot, also known as spinning around and bouncing off what increasingly feel like the walls of a rubber room. In the newsletter, we also note, courtesy of Blacklock's reporter, that, quote, "federal agencies are considering mandatory quick response codes on consumer products so Canadians can gauge the climate impact of purchases," according to a Privy Council report. No budget was disclosed, end quote. The same report did note that Canadians do not generally scan QR codes, but this time will be so different that the only really important question is whether to make those codes green or red. We also present a nasty surprise from the hottest summer ever, or whatever 2025 supposedly was. The Weather Network warns that, quote, "frost advisories in southern Ontario offer an early peak at colder days," end quote. More weather, it seems. Oh, and in case you're one of those weirdos who don't consider Ontario the center of the universe, they also say, quote, "late summer frost advisories stretch over 2,000 kilometers." Weird, huh? And it gets worse. Quote, "the dramatic start to Canada's fall weather will give way to mild temperatures in the middle of the season," the Weather Network's seasonal forecast suggests, "but not before a possibly abrupt transition into early winter," end quote. Canada is, of course, warming faster than average, just like everywhere else. It simply doesn't feel like it. Then, from our So You Admit It file, Canary Media blurts out that, quote, "heat pumps may be the clean heating and cooling solution we're all looking for, but their price isn't always competitive with fossil fuel options, end quote. But then it blurts in, quote, enter Jetson, a startup that combines hardware, software, and a direct-to-consumer approach to hopefully cut the cost, end quote. Or not. News stories about things that might be going to happen against long odds just don't get the dogs fed, or the house warmed or cooled. Then more from the Experts Say Communism Best file. Quote, even moderate warming could cause irreversible damage to Mediterranean ecosystems, experts warn, end quote. Yeah, experts who never heard of the Roman warm period. But no, that actually wasn't the example we were really after. Instead, an email from Carleton University on September 11th, complete with pronouns, said, quote, following the shocking shooting of American right-wing advocate Charlie Kirk, Carleton University experts are available to comment on subjects related to the incident, end quote. And the first such expert was, quote, Katie Bausch, professor, Feminist Institute of Social Transformation at Carleton University, end quote. Yeah, experts say long live communism. Oh, and it turns out that the blockbuster Red Team Climate Report out of the U.S. Department of Energy that we defended last week has succumbed. No, not to informed criticism, to lawfare from alarmists who absolutely, positively do not want to be part of an open-minded discussion or even see one take place without them. It seems a paperwork error involving one of the researchers contravened the Federal Advisory Committee Act's public disclosure rules. Instead of saying, oh, well, never mind that red tape, let's talk about substance, the Environmental Defense Fund and the Union of Concerned Scientists lunged for the gavel. Bloomberg Green may send out shrill emails about Trump's war on climate science, but there's one side in the dogmatist skeptic debate on climate that wants to discuss science, and there's one that wants to silence dissent. And it's not the one they think. And another thing. We mentioned last week the media obsession with a non-existent increase in wildfires or many other weather phenomena, including hurricanes. And indeed, Bloomberg Green hollers fire in a crowded media theater. Quote, a record summer of blazes on the continent shows how governments and local communities can't keep up with brutal fire conditions exacerbated by climate change, end quote. Brutal. Record. You could be forgiven for assuming that they wouldn't write such stuff if there weren't something solid behind it. But you'd be wrong. The story admits that bad fire management by European governments contributed to the problem. But surely it being a record says something important. And it does. It says, you're being had. The press are remarkably incurious about where this record notion came from. But it turns out that the data in question only go back to 2003. Record? Phooey. It's just what happened in the last two decades. And if it's not fraud, it will do until some comes along. Meanwhile, since it's also not journalism, we decided to do some of what reporters no longer do, namely a bit of online searching on European wildfires and history. And we did find interesting material readily available, including academic studies. But it almost exclusively concerned urban fires. Why? Because back then, nobody was measuring rural ones. And now, with all the government grant money going to people who say climate change incinerated my Europe, nobody's out there studying layers of carbon and other proxies to try to discover whether, like the rest of the planet, Europe had lots of forest or grass fires back when. Data schmata. Ah, and in the newsletter, further to communist China's alleged turn to green energy, and the left's long and dangerous infatuation with that murderous, mendacious regime, we note Robert Bryce rubbishing Bill McKibben's new book, Here Comes the Sun, A Last Chance for the Climate and a Fresh Chance for Civilization, as, quote, a 220-page love letter to America's most formidable geopolitical rival, the People's Republic of China, end quote. And Bryce complains of the weird mix of red and green in which, quote, McKibben is effusive in his praise of China's pursuit of EVs, batteries, solar panels, and wind turbines, but he blithely ignores China's record as one of the world's most notorious abusers of human rights, end quote, including using slave labor to make its solar panels. Plus, quote, his book ignores the land use conflicts over alt-energy that are raging all around the world. Finally, McKibben ignores the pesky problem of scale, end quote. Okay, Bryce also rubbishes the author as, quote, equal parts P.T. Barnum, Amory Lovins, and the boy who cried wolf, end quote. And it's a fair indictment. So we ask, why doesn't it bother the people on McKibben's side that he writes this way and thinks this way? Then in the newsletter, we continue our Have It Both Ways series with a look at global malaria and global warming. The idea that climate change would bring malaria back to lands where it has long been eradicated didn't originate with Al Gore. He certainly got a lot of mileage out of it in his now thoroughly forgotten 2006 movie An Inconvenient Truth, but back in 1999, a paper had appeared in the journal Global Environmental Change entitled, quote, Climate Change and Future Populations at Risk of Malaria, end quote, which, as the title suggests, was about how we were all going to get the dreaded tropical scourge as temperatures started rising. A little over a decade later, a paper appeared in Nature magazine, of all places, pointing out that despite all the hysteria about climate change and malaria, the dratted disease just kept disappearing due to routine control measures. It noted, quote, renewed optimism among the international malaria research and control community. In marked contrast, however, are model predictions, reported widely in global climate policy debates, that climate change is adding to the present-day burden of malaria and will increase both the future range and intensity of the disease, end quote. So, the models say one thing, which the press then happily amplify, but the data say another. Not to worry, on climate change, you get to have it both ways. Now here's a sockdolager. We recently recorded a rant about a new study in Nature magazine supposedly attributing hundreds of heat waves to the emissions associated with specific oil companies with eerie precision, decimal place on decimal place, including some relatively small ones in Canada. Many such studies focus on one heat wave in particular, the 2021 heat wave in the Pacific Northwest, or PNW21 as it is called, which was admittedly very intense. And indeed, we also did a fact-check video on the hype surrounding that particular event, showing that it was rare because the weather conditions that gave rise to it were rare. But the PNW21 hype shows no signs of going away, in part because so many studies declared that it would have been impossible without emissions of greenhouse gases. Not just rare, mind you, impossible. And this inclusion is based on numerous studies that look at data extending back to 1950. But last year, two Canadian scientists asked what would happen if they used data going all the way back to 1940. Not exactly a huge leap into the mists of time. And this cautious, even obvious step led them to discover that a supposedly impossible heat wave also happened in 1941, long before modern greenhouse gas emissions took off, meaning that the 2021 event was far less unusual than has been claimed, and as will be claimed again. And now, from the co2science.org archive, another plant whose name would be a great one for a rock band, Aragrostis curvula shrad knees, but under its popular name, weeping lovegrass. It has also sometimes been referred to as an invasive species, though it was actually imported from South Africa and then planted by hand across the United States as a versatile ground cover suitable for erosion control. And whatever you think of it, in 2001 and 2011, a total of 7 experiments showed that an additional 300 parts per million of CO2 boosted its growth by an average of 48.1%. So this lovegrass is not weeping over your CO2. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I know data from fantasy.